Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Hello, everyone. This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski, and I am so excited to bring you the hottest new podcast for the NFL and gaming. Welcome to Jaws Picks, featuring me, Ron Jaworski, and some of the most famous names in sports, music, and entertainment, as I give you my expert analysis and predictions of each and every NFL game. So far this season, my predictions are over 55% correct
against the spread.
That's a pretty good number, folks. And over 67% picking winners straight up. You do not want to miss out on this podcast. Every week, I will tell you who, how, and why each NFL game will be decided. Take the guesswork and stress out of gaming and subscribe to Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. That's Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. Stay safe, take care, and let's make some beer money.
Well, in this episode, we talk about my old crazy construction buddy, Frazier. We're getting some hot mop talk.
Who do you think? How do you think we could bring Vegemite into a show like this? But we did.
Right. It's all coming up. First, I'll tell you about Tommy John Black Friday. Their sale's coming up, man, and it's cold outside, and you want to get cozy with some nice underwear, loungewear, pajamas, bras. It's all there with Tommy John. You can shop their Black Friday sale right now. Give the gift of comfort to everyone on your list, and give it to yourself as well. I'm wearing my Tommy John's right now, and the loungewear, now that the weather's taking a turn for the cool, so comfortable around the house. Say goodbye to the old stained sweatpants and get the new luxurious soft loungewear, and you will not go back to those old sweatpants. They are so good and such a great gift, and every guy and gal will appreciate Tommy John's. The best pair you'll ever wear. It's free. Guarantee, right, man?
That's right. Shop Tommy John's Black Friday sale right now to make sure your gifts arrive by the holidays. Go to TommyJohn.com/ace for 20% off site-wide. Get 20% off for a limited time only at TommyJohn.com/ace. TommyJohn.com/ace. See site for details.
This is Corolla Digital.
Master Carpenter, who's here to help you out? If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the house. Ace on the house. Ace on the house.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice, but gonna mend it. Get it on.
You have to get it on day and night.
And there's Stromer got a haircut, it looks like.
I may have just washed it. I washed it. Yeah.
Well, no haircut. It's silky and manageable.
Like a gentle lion's mane, am I right?
All right. So let's see. I got my spiral staircase treads in today.
I did some hot mopping this morning, which I'll send some photos of. So you know about the hot mop, but tell me about your stairs.
Did you do a shower pan?
Yeah, I did a shower pan. And you know, when you watch those guys work, they fold the paper. I said to him, you must be a fantastic Christmas gift wrapper, because they fold the paper, pre-fold it with such precision. He didn't even have to measure the pan. He just looked down and then folded it and put it right in, and then you know, multiple layers of paper and tar, and it's just perfect. Like when you watch these guys that do this every day, 4, 5, 6 pans a day, they're like geniuses with their technique. It's really amazing.
Yeah. Stromer said, you must be a fantastic Christmas gift wrapper. And the guy went, okay. And that was the end of that conversation.
It really did end there. He kind of went, yeah, whatever. People just don't, you know, they don't equate the things where you can parlay your skill into some other thing.
I know. I know hot mopping is still going strong. I mean, tar is as old as tar. They have all kinds of membranes now and all kinds of different variations of it. But is the mop still the weapon of choice for the professional tiler?
I think the mop is still the classic way. You know, it's not going to fail. And a lot of guys shy away from using the pad. There's a pr- product called Pasco Liner, which is essentially like a polyvinyl sheet that you do the same thing. You make the folds and you use a little product called toluene, which I believe gave me thyroid cancer, which is why I no longer have a thyroid gland, because I spent a couple of years using that product and the vapors were so strong. And that was before anyone said, hey, wear a mask, dumbass, or maybe your thyroid will just go away, which is what in fact happened. So I'd rather use the tar.
What years were you using it?
I was using it back in the 80s, like mid to late 80s.
Oh, it was around back then, huh?
Yeah, yeah. They started introducing those polyvinyl pans, and I thought, wow, that's a great idea. I can cut out the $275 it costs to use a hot mopper by getting cancer.
Yeah, I don't I thought that stuff was all newer than damn near, you know, 35 years old.
Yeah, maybe the early 90s, I think. Late 80s, early 90s.
The mopper, you know, the thing about the mopper with the pan is it's one of those things where it's like you could it's kind of like garage doors. Like you could do it yourself, you're good enough, you could figure it out, but why? Just give it to the guy, let him come in. He does it all day.
Yeah, he really does. And it's multiple layers of tar paper. And, you know, once it's in, I've never had one fail, ever.
Yeah, they say they're good for, I don't know, 50 years or something.
Well, so I mean, there's a little area over there called, by your old stomping ground, CBS Radio, called the La Brea Tar Pits. And I believe that lasted a fair amount of time.
Yeah, right? It's been there since I've been here.
Did you ever go out to the park with Danny Bonaducci and do push-up challenges by the La Brea Tar Pits when you were at CBS Radio?
Sadly, no, but I did get to witness him doing chin-ups in the door jamb in the doorway of the studio wearing tight jeans, like True Religion jeans, boots, a big belt buckle, no shirt, and smelling of Axe and Marlboro Reds.
God, those are the days.
Those are the days. I miss those days.
Right?
All right, we got Matt from Fresno, who I feel like he's called before. He's a drywall contractor. Matt?
Wow. That was quick. I just called like 2 minutes ago.
Well, we aim to please. You got a question?
Man,
you want to talk drywall?
So, yeah, I just want to check back in. You know what I mean? Yeah, again, you know, I called a couple of times before over the years, and things have changed for you. And in terms of, you know, the current house you're in now, because you're planning to build, and I could throw a drywall bid.
Yeah. Wait, is this Matt who wanted to break into the L.A. drywall scene?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
it's a pretty fast-paced,
yes, ma'am,
lucrative, exciting world of L.A. drywall.
No, it is, I think. I mean, at least for the, you know, the tier of the market I'm trying to get into is just kind of residential, you know, high-end custom homes. And I have a few bids in areas like in Santa Monica that I've been kind of hunting down. And I go to L.A. every week. I'm actually driving to L.A. right now.
Let me interject something. Like a brand new screenwriter, if you have multiple clasps in the holes of the script, people know that you're a rookie, right? You can only have one at the top. Now, if you refer to it as the sheetrock game, I think you'll be able to get into the biz a lot easier. Not the drywall scene in LA. It's called the sheetrock game.
I rarely agree with Stromer, but
Wait a minute. What? You mean you want me to call it sheetrock? I don't even understand.
Sheetrock's a brand name. Hey, Matt,
yeah,
how much plaster work do you do?
We don't do any plaster work other than if it's like maybe like a wall or a room. We don't mess around with that. You know, we let the pros handle that. But, I mean, as you probably know, that's such an old school trade. Like anybody, even in the Fresno area, anyone doing that is like 90 years old.
I know.
And they're Irish. Hard. Irish and drunk.
I'm saying it's time for new Bucks to step up. Hey, Matt.
Yep.
Thanks for calling in, man. I don't have
any. That's it?
Well, I don't have any drywall work right now.
No, No. I know. I'm not even looking for that anymore. But
Hey Matt. Have you ever seen the video of? I think it's from like the 40s or probably the 50s. It's like an old film of a guy holding a drywall axe and drywalling an arch and like.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That's amazing, isn't it? Those were the days.
Yeah,
that was that's craftsmanship.
About as old as you are, though.
Yeah. Hey, are you doing a lot of work on metal stud in these buildings now?
Not a ton. We're mostly about 90% residential, 10% commercial.
Yeah, but I was asking. I was asking residential metal stud. I feel like there's more and more being used.
Good question. In fact, we have a small bathroom remodel right now where they're insisting on metal stud framing versus wood, just because I think there's actually some electrical work they want to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit better with metal stud for that, a little bit more flexible or a little bit more.
Thanks, Matt. All right. Yeah, metal stud.
Yeah, you love the metal stud because you can run all that cabling in the pre-existing knockouts that are available in the metal
people
studs.
Are a little bit intimidated by metal stud, but I frame this entire building, interior of this building, in metal stud.
Yeah.
The other thing is it's all punched out. And I think people go like, so what? Just drill the stud. Getting that big fucking inch and a half inch auger bit with your, you know, D-handle whole hog and pounding through that stud while it's cracking the stud the whole time because the bit's starting to get smoked, you know. I don't know. It's all punched out. You can buy it in bundles of like 20 and carry. It doesn't take up a ton of room on your rack or in the bed of your truck. And you know it's true. It's all true. It's not propped or bent or bowed or nothing. It's just true. You can put it together pretty easily. You can pop that track down. Like, if it's non-bearing, then use metal stud.
Yeah, I think it's, by the way, the thing you just described with the whole hog and blowing the stud out as you're trying to get stuff through, I just did this morning, and it 100% is true. It's like by the time you get your vent up through, you know, some plate in your framing, it's gone. There's no integrity anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think it's the metal stud. I think people just don't use it that much if they're in residential, and that's the only reason that we don't more. I think it is better product in the application you speak of, for sure.
We got Mora. Got to figure her name. She's doing building an ADU. Didn't you build an ADU? Were we talking about that last time? What's the acronym? I mean, not the acronym, but the initials.
Accessory dwelling unit.
That's right. So she's doing. She has a question about plumbing. So we'll ask. We'll talk to her.
Yeah.
How do we say your name, Mora? Mara.
Hi. It's just like Laura.
Mora.
But with an M.
Mora.
Yeah.
Mora, 57, from Sherman Oaks. What's up?
Hey. Hey, Eric.
Hi.
Did you hear that?
I
was right back in high school. Hey, Adam. Hey, Eric. Are those new dolphin shorts? Did you get taller during the summer?
That's right. Are those sideburns?
Wow. Hey, Adam, give me another chocolate milk from the cafeteria, please. Hey, Eric. She says she knows you. Mara?
And just so you know, I was you, Adam, so, like, I know the feeling.
Good. Glad you share my pain.
Yes. So, hey, I run a charity from my home, and I'm going to be creating an ADU in the back and about, like, 700 square feet. And I kind of exist as a... this, like, I can do this kind of muscle person, mm-hmm. thuggy, mm-hmm. Thought person. And I had some people out to think about laying cement just to get a quote. And then we all sort of had this aha moment of, well, you're going to do like plumbing and electrical and stuff like that here. You have to do that first, you know? Mm-hmm. And it just occurred that I have no idea where I need to stop and have someone else do something, and where I can like do it all myself, you know? So like, what do you guys say about the layman inside of like a layman can frame something, but you don't want to electrical or something like that? Like, can you give me any points on that?
You're doing a, so you want to get everything down and then you want to lay a slab.
Well, to be honest, I would have gone and laid the slab without remembering that I needed to get everything down. So that's
right.
My bad. So
but
maybe
now you'd like to lay everything down and then do the slab.
Is that okay? And if my garage has electrical and water, is it safe to assume that I have that I can pull into an ADU off the garage, or do I have to get my like? How do I deal with that?
Well,
like,
first of all, you're going to want to find your main line, and then you have to figure out how to get all of your ABS that you're going to have running from your toilet and your shower drain and your sink drain to the existing line and make sure there's enough fall, meaning that you have to be able to get drainage going from zero, which would be the garage floor, down to where the tie-in is to get the sewage out to the city. So I just did
like
this on
gravity?
A job right now.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a quarter inch per foot in terms of the fall generally. So by the time you find the main line and intercept it, it's going to be a trench that's like close to maybe 3-4 feet deep, then starting at the garage at like zero where it is, right? So that pipe has to go from point A to point B and fall all the way down to where it ties into the city. So that's a very deep trench, and that's going to require a lot of digging and planning. So don't just haphazardly do this until you get a plumber there to tell you how you should run this line to get there.
Well, also, you know, just pulling the electrical off the garage, you know, you're going to have to step up your panel.
Yes,
I would probably say.
Probably, yeah.
And you're going to need a sub panel.
Yes.
Or you need either need to step up. What year is the house?
43. And the garage, I think, has a 210. I'm being a little dangerous
with
my knowledge.
They upgraded the panel, I'm guessing.
I think my ex did.
Okay.
But I know
well,
we
he
can
was
figure
good,
that out.
He was good for something.
At least he got the circuit run.
Yeah, so if you got your panel upgraded to like a 200-amp panel, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Then you do have a 200-amp panel?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Because he could run all kinds of stuff out there.
Yeah, like, then you're going to need a sub panel. Either way, in terms of getting the stuff roughed in before you pour the slab, I would leave that to the experts, because you fuck something up and you pour the slab and you can't get to it. So I would think about letting the experts rough it in. Now, maybe you could frame it and you could finish it, do the finish electrical or do that. But as far as the slab and what's in the slab, I wouldn't mess around with that.
Okay.
All right.
I agree. 100%.
Get
a couple of bids, get a couple of guys to come out and give you ideas, and then reformulate your plan after that.
All right, let me tell you about Meter Holidays. It's the official wear sweats and stuff your faces. And so you're going to be doing a lot of cooking this holiday. You want to make sure the meat is good. You want to make sure the meat is ready. There's Meter Bluetooth meat thermometer that keeps an eye on your food and lets you know when it's ready. The probe, it's got a probe. It's a really nice piece. It'd make a really nice gift. Two temperature sensors along with the Meter app gives you the countdown on your phone. So you just download the app, goes right to your phone. You don't have to stand there.
Well, you know what I love about it, too? Then you don't have to open the oven, and you can keep that bird a-cooking and just look right through the glass and see the temperature. It's great.
You can look right through your phone and see it. And also, but steaks and roast and all the stuff you put on the grill as well. Smoker. Even sous vide cooking, air fryers, rotisserie, perfect tool for cooking for the holidays and good for feast, you know, the perfect gift. If you want someone to look So if you know someone who loves cooking or you love cooking, you get them Meter. Get 15% off with the code ACE at Meter. That's M-E-A-T-E-R.com, right, Matt?
That's right. Get 15% off with code ACE at M-E-A-T-E-R.com. 15% off when you use code ACE at Meter.com. Let Meter help make your holiday meals absolutely perfect.
So, yeah, I got my treads in.
Yeah, and how's that looking, by the way?
It's good. The moral of the story is you can buy a kit for a spiral staircase, but if it's a custom size and you want a tread that looks different than most, or they don't offer it, or you can't find it, there are places that'll make you the treads. You just have to do the calculations, get the right number, get the right span, get the right everything.
And they figure out the amount of steps and how to get them all to fit in that drop, right, from the platform down.
You give them the you give them the height and then right. The width, and then you can do the calculations and in the math. So what bathroom are you working on, Stromer?
Well, I got the, by the way, coincidentally, my client's name is Maura also. So I was actually thinking wow. It might've been her, but it was a different Maura. Anyway, it's an ADU garage conversion to a room plus a bathroom, turned a breezeway into a bathroom. The breezeway wasn't substantial enough. So we poured some new footings, mm-hmm. Made that floor nice and rigid for tile. And it doesn't feel like you're sort of hovering over a suspension bridge anymore. It feels like a real space. And we'll probably wrap it up by the week of December 15th, somewhere around there, I'm hoping.
Matt, we got vid questions, email questions.
Oh, yeah. We got a bunch of video questions, and we'd love for you to email us, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com. Go to aceontheroof.com if you want to see the videos. This first one is from Dave in Connecticut. It's a little long, but I think you'll like it.
Ace man, Stromer, get it on. My wife and I just bought a house from the 70s. Bathrooms have never been redone. So this is the first one we're renovating. Small little bathroom with the classic 1x1 70s tile. It seems like every bathroom was made with these. It's right on the subfloor, as you can see, right on the plywood subfloor. Not sure what they used to attach these with. Not that it matters, but my question is, can I throw thin set on there, prep it somehow, and just throw thin set on that plywood subfloor? It's a raised foundation. I can get underneath to kind of shore it up, but small bathroom. I know everyone will tell me to put cement board on, but being a rebel as you are, maybe you can tell me if it's a terrible idea or not. The reason is I like the fact that I'm at the same grade here, and I want to try to keep that level the same. I don't want to put down a quarter inch of backer board and then, you know, thin set and tile, and I'm up all right. Up a quarter inch. Let me know if that's a terrible idea. That's the tile we're putting in. If you have any
octagonal
tricks or tips for mosaic tile. Mm-hmm. I've used some large format stuff before.
Sorry, hexagonal.
But, you know, I'm thinking
octagonal.
I need something to kind of press them down in.
What's octagonal?
Is it level. Hex?
Six? Yeah.
I think hex, right?
Yeah. As I go. Block of wood, something like that.
Gary schooled me.
Anyway, if you think tiling on top of that plywood's a terrible idea,
you can pause it.
Any suggestions?
Pause it, Matt. I may be a rebel, but I'm not retarded. You don't want to put the new tile on top of the plywood.
Oh, God, no. And when you demo all that old tile out, you're going to rip plywood out in layers of the veneer.
Maybe. I think it's just going to pop.
Yeah, maybe.
All right.
Please start over.
Well, let's do this. Let's demo out all the existing. Easy. It's going to pop because it's on plywood. I don't know. These idiots put the fucking stuff down. They put the tile down on top of the plywood. Fine. How about we shift gears from a ceramic type tile to like a vinyl type something or something with a little flex in it that'll adhere, that'll work on a subfloor. He doesn't want to get into messing around with the elevation between the hallway and the bathroom and the blah, blah, blah. So here's the deal. There's if you have to put your new hexagonal tile down on the old ply, I suppose there's a kind of a mastic or something that's got a little flex in it or something. I mean, you don't use thin set. I would use some sort of mastic, but it's all a bad idea. I think I would.
Can I also tell you why I think it's a bad idea? Whenever you do that hex tile and you have to bury, you're going to ultimately have to cut little tiny pieces of hex insert when you're going to go up against your baseboards and stuff. And if you don't, you see strange grout joints that are where tile should have been. And when you're trying to clip those with a nipper and then bury that weird little tiny piece in mastic, it's a total nightmare. Mm-hmm. At least with thin set, you can put it in and kind of quickly wipe out the joint and clean it off when it's all dry and it's still going to stay in. With mastic and you're putting in these little eighth inch, quarter inch slivers, it's just an awful task. So in order to do it the right way, please don't use mastic. And I really think you got to rethink that your transition is going to be the same, because it's not. To do it right, you got to have another layer of plywood. Even if you rip the old plywood out down to the joists, at that point you could decide, I can get my levels up to match the tile if I use the right appropriate thickness of plywood, but only if you get it down to joists, which it doesn't sound like you want to do. So I feel like rip the tile out and do backer board and then do that stuff and use thin set. And I think that's the best way, but you are going to be up by a half inch.
Yeah.
You're going to have a reducer.
Well, there's no crime in having a reducer, number one.
No.
Number two, you want to do that, but I'm telling you, there's lots of rolled vinyl and they do a lot of really cool stuff with vinyl flooring. And
that can look like that hex tile, by the way, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, the hell am I trying to, what rolled vinyl flooring am I trying to think of?
It's like the sheet good stuff.
Yeah.
Where it comes in. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they sell
what's
it.
What's the
like
old school stuff? I'm
linoleum.
Linoleum. Yeah.
There's
a lot of really interesting things they can do with linoleum. They can seam it. They can do a border. You know, there's some interesting stuff. All right. So if you're hell bent on not changing the elevation of it, then you can't use the ceramic tile.
Right.
Okay. That's our rule.
Unless you go down to joists and build it back up again. But that
yeah, but
like
even then, you still have an elevation issue.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
You do.
Let's see. Line one over here is Tom, 34, Minneapolis. Finished laundry room wants to know how the level to slope the drain for the flooring. We'll talk to Tom. Tom, 34, Minneapolis.
Hi, guy. Yes, yeah, so I'm trying to finish my laundry room. It's a big slab from the 60s, and it kind of all slopes towards a drain. And how do I level that so I can put, like, vinyl tile down or something like that?
All right, it's a slab, you said, slopes toward the drain. How much do you think you'd have to make up at the low point?
It's probably like two inches at maybe 10 feet, or 2 or 3 inches at 10 feet maybe.
Hmm. That's a decent amount.
And you want to do linoleum over a slab?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. LVP, something non-organic.
He can do that, but the question is how do we flatten that slab?
You got to do self-leveler and reduce the slope, but man, it's going to be hard to have it adhere.
3 inches of self-leveler or 2 inches of self-leveler?
I'd almost think you'd rather put ceramic down and just use the existing slab.
But he wants to get rid of the slope.
Yeah, you got to feather stuff to get a less extreme slope, and that's a lot of farting around with a trowel. Mm-hmm. If you haven't done it before, you want to bring in the big guns.
Well, would Stromer, does this make sense to you? Strip it all down, acid wash it or pressure wash it, or just clean the shit out of it with TSP.
Yeah.
Scar it up, maybe even put some dowels in terms of putting some Tapcons, you know, in on the low point, letting them hang out like a Frankenstein bolt, you know, an inch or whatever.
Yeah.
Then using concrete glue, brush it on, and then fill the deep part with cement or mortar. Like, fill that up. And when you get that basically up to close to where you want it, then you do the feather float over the whole thing.
Okay.
I'm asking Stromer.
Yeah, well, what I would add to that is you would want to put some sort of a ring around the drain to the height that you want the slope to go, so you have somewhere to
level it. Yeah, screed it.
Screed it too. Yeah.
Right. So take a piece of like
PVC.
Yeah. Oh, jinx, you owe me a Coke. Take a piece of PVC, throw like a long level on the high part, have it go across to that part. Make sure you're level. Now you have a finished height, level height to go to on the drain.
But boy, do you have to get cement glue on that and understand that if it cracks up, don't call us and be upset, because it's tough. It's tough to hold it in place.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of movement sliding things over the area over time. It should be okay, but it will crack up at some point.
Should you put some
your Frankenstein doweling could hold
that,
it.
Well, that's a help. There's also, isn't there, like, you can take the mesh, not the mesh, but the fibers, and mix it in with it so it doesn't crack up? What is that stuff?
If you use the self-leveling product, at least there's adhesive in it that kind of will be in your favor to hold it in place a little better. I might even just go the self-leveling and pour it so that the PVC that you cut, like a 4-inch circumference that you go over the drain with, it won't run into the drain, and you're going to want to put masking or duct tape over it before
you do
it.
But do you want to do 3 inches or 2 inches of self-leveler?
I'd rather almost on some level do a couple of layers of that, because at least it's made to stick to itself.
What, Gary, look up cement fiber.
And that stuff goes to zero better than concrete glue and cement.
No, you know I'm saying concrete glue and cement to lay down a base, come up a quarter inch short, and then do the feather float.
Oh, that's
the top
a good
of
idea.
It. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Let me hit blinds galore, and Gary can look up that crap. What is it called? Is it called something?
Flexcrete is the first one that comes up.
This would be an actual dry fiber that you would add to the concrete to give it fiber, so it wouldn't sort of
let me look while
up.
You do your read.
All right, Blinds Galore, Black Friday and Cyber Monday right around the corner. Visit blindsgalore.com today and order up to 15 free samples, and then you'll be ready when the big sale starts November 24th. blindsgalore.com. give any room an incredible makeover with custom blinds, shades or shutters, even shades that connect to your smartphone, your smart home, your Amazon Alexa. I have my bedroom. I just have them on a remote. You just hit the remote. They're all synchronized and everything. Family owned and run for over 20 years. You don't have to pull wires. They have batteries in them, and they last a long time. And you can do all your ordering from home. Just take the measurements, customize it online with the Build a Blind tool, so you'll be able to see exactly how your blinds and shades are going to look on screen before you squeeze the trigger. Save a ton compared to the big box stores. It's Blinds Galore, right, Matt?
BlindsGalore.com makes it easy to get the designer blinds and shades you've always wanted without the designer price tag. Get your free samples now so you'll be ready for their Black Friday sale when everything will be 50% off. That's BlindsGalore.com. Let them know Adam sent you.
All right, Matt, you got another vid question
for us? Sure do. Another video question coming your way. This one from Chris in Long Island.
Granite countertop, backsplash.
Boy, does that scream 80s, doesn't it?
Grout talk for you. So just bought this house. Looks like the countertop probably sunk down a bit over time. And the grout also eroded away. Looks good down that way, though. No issues. It's probably not sinking anymore. What's the best thing to do? Do I scrape this out and then throw another product in there? Also, this is right next to the sink, so potentially right there. I'm thinking the water may have eaten away at it a bit. Is there a better product to use than just like your regular grout for this type of an application? Let me know.
Yeah, I would use like a color matching siliconized caulk, wouldn't you, Stronger?
Yes. All the grout manufacturers also make an accompanying grout color sanded caulking that will
tie. Oh, it's sanded.
If it's that thick of a grout joint. But we have to address his issue where a lot of times when the grout fails and somebody didn't put a membrane behind the transition from the countertop to the backsplash, water gets down behind there, starts to erode the plywood sub top that's on top of the cabinetry between the cabinets and the top of the stone. And it expands and contracts over time and starts to fail and sink. And there's not enough support so that it's not really a grout issue as much as a structural issue of the plywood top. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I recommend going underneath that sink, trying to jack it up a little bit. And then, you know, maybe if you can screw in a cleat to hold that countertop up a little further and keep the countertop up to where the old backsplash meets the countertop. And then you use your siliconized color caulk. It won't fail again. But what you're doing now is you'll just keep putting in new material. It'll continue to sink. And then you'll replace it again and again and again without fixing and addressing the problem.
All right. He's not going to do any of that shit.
Probably not. So let's just throw some caulk in and call it a day.
That's right. He's probably going to get hit by a truck in 3 days.
Yeah, that's right.
So it seems like, you know, look, it's an eighth at most. So I'm guessing he's fine for a little while.
Yeah.
What should we use? Should we get our grout remover? Should we get
brush? Your little grout saw that's on the wood handle, you can get it off of Amazon. Just look up grout saw
and
saw out the pre-existing dried grout, suck it out with a vacuum, go find a color chart, bring it home.
Should we
find the color and then buy the accompanying caulk color?
Scrub it out with the
vacuum.
With the little tungsten, do that. Maybe take some acetone or something and clean the
Or just a single edge razor blade and just get all the existing stuff off the surface of the slab, suck it out with a vacuum, come back in with your caulk, call it a day, done.
All right.
Pray to God you can get through Thanksgiving without getting hit by a truck.
Do you got another one, Matt?
Yes, we do. Now, we've taken a few calls from Brett the electrician. Now, he's sent in a video. It's really more of a comment than a question, but we thought it would be good to put a face to the name and hear what he has to say.
Oh, he's sleeved up.
Ace Man Stromer, get it on. It's your favorite electrician, Brett, 32 San Diego. I feel obligated to make this video because this shit has just gone way too far and getting out of hand. On behalf of all my fellow electricians worldwide, I would like to apologize to you guys. And today I'm doing my part and
cleaning it up.
That nice?
That's right. Cleaning everything up. Get it on.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
See how we can affect change in the world.
Yeah.
Through the land of pod.
I think I think electricians look at themselves as like Michelin rated chefs who don't want to scrub pans. You know what
I
mean?
Like that's 100% true.
But it's beneath them.
Yeah.
And
but Brett, we've changed Brett's life, man.
Yeah.
This is big. I feel proud.
Yeah. Well, the thing about, you should have the same mode in a house as you do when you're going into the bathroom and opening the medicine cabinet and pilfering a few Vicodin off the customer. you got to turn the label the same direction it was facing. Don't get greedy and take too many.
Just two. That's the limit.
Just get it through the day. You don't want them, or I used to go into the kitchen all the time and help myself to as much trail mix as I could find, or Cheetos or whatever it is. But I would always be careful to put things back just so.
Well, even if you're taking a bra out and having your drywall guy wear it around for half the day, you've got to remember how to fold it the right way and put it back in the drawer.
Yeah. Let's say you're going into the girls' room and you're going to go through the hamper.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that the training bra on top, panties on the bottom.
Yep.
Do it as if there was a nanny cam filming you.
You know what? I've never heard wiser words.
Yeah. Thank God the nanny cam didn't exist back when I used to do this shit.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think I ever worked on any houses with any hot chicks either. It was always just
I worked on one, and I would always come early, and I'd see all the boys up on like multiple ladders working on the exterior trim of one particular window.
Over
and over again.
Yeah, I do have a vague recollection of one of them too. Yeah,
and I hate to put a hex on the restaurant business, but the same held true when I was a glamorous busboy in the early '80s, and I would be out like trying to get the tables busted, and there was no one in the restaurant, and I was like, where the hell did everybody go? Walk out through the kitchen in the back, and there were literally 9 cooks and Sioux guys and busboys staring through the window at some poor girl going to the restroom. And I was like, really? This is the thing?
You worked at Chuck Berry's place? Yeah, we had I remember once when we were doing earthquake rehab in Koreatown.
Yeah.
About a 5-story building. We were up on the roof having to resheathe the roof and do parapet braces and shit like that. The thing had about a 3-foot parapet all the way around it. And at some point, all the guys were like running down the stairs, and some guy was running to his truck because he had binoculars in his truck. And on a neighboring building, it was probably 100 feet away, there's a chick topless sunbathing on the roof.
Yeah.
And we all went scrambling up to the roof, and we got the it was like we were on a recon, you know. Everyone is fighting over the binoculars, and they'd peer their head over a little.
That's it.
And then the guy I worked with, there's a guy who was a Kiwi, he was from New Zealand, and his name was Fraser, and he was nuts. And we're all like looking over, like, shh, quiet, get your head down. And this guy just stood up and yelled, like, hey, we're over here. And she went, like, what? And pulled like the towel over, and we're like, fucking Fraser.
Yeah, he ruined it.
There's always one nutty job on every site, right? There's one nut guy.
It was that same kitchen that I was referring to where I learned the word in Spanish, maricón. And they kept saying to me, Maricone. And I kept responding, why, yes, I am an American. Where are you gentlemen from? And then someone told me, no, they're calling you fag. And I was like, oh, okay.
The same guy, I know I've told this story before, but this same guy, Fraser, at some point at lunch, there was a woman named Millie or something who'd been in the building since 1939, since they opened the building. It's quite a claim to fame, like living in a one bedroom. It wasn't in one bedroom. They're all like bachelors with Murphy beds in Koreatown. And she was like 90 years old. And somebody said, we're going to get a picture of all the crew. And then Millie, the 90-year-old, like standing in front of the front door of the building. And someone got like a ladder and put it out in the street. And everyone gathered around. And everyone got around Millie, and Fraser sidled up next to Millie, and everyone's, you know, the photographer's like, squeeze in. And we all squeezed in, and he's like, 1, 2. And Fraser lets a huge fart go. And everyone goes, fuck you, Fraser. And everyone just spread out, and we never took the picture. Everyone's like, fuck you, Fraser, because he used to fart on people all the time.
I wonder where Fraser is.
I don't know. He ate Vegemite. I ate Vegemite with him in his van.
And I didn't hear about Vegemite until Men at Work came up with their hit and utilized the Vegemite sandwich line.
This, he had a VW camper van.
Yeah.
He used to spend his lunch eating in his VW camper van. He liked me because, like, I had a sense of humor and he was, you know, pretty normal, although nuts. And he said, you know, come to my van. I'm gonna give you some Vegemite. And I was like, all right, I'll try it. Tastes like ass, man.
Yeah, what is it actually?
It is basically, I don't know, fermented root or something. Like, it is as bitter and as shitty as you could. It's worse than you would think. I don't know.
Is it really?
I don't know how you could con a whole nation into eating Vegemite, but obviously it hasn't spread out.
It's made from leftover brewer's yeast extract.
Ugh.
Oh, so when they couldn't...
Brewer's yeast is so brutal, too.
And isn't brewer's yeast actually from the process of making beer?
Yeah, yes, it's leftover. No? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Stromer, hit your spot.
Friends, gotta ask you this question. Always have to. Do you own or rent your home? Well, sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. Now, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing too, because why? Well, you already have so much to do around your home. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit geico.com today. That is GEICO, G-E-I-C-O, geico.com.
All right, I'm going to be in West Palm Beach at the Improv tonight. Also, we're doing a matinee show of Reasonable Doubt with Mark Gergo, so you can come by, I think, at 4 o'clock, Gary. Is that right? Yeah, and then we're doing a live podcast, and I'm doing stand-up later that night, so you can check that out. Go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows, because there's live shows coming up all over the place, like December 12th, Burbank Flappers. We're doing a drive-in at the Pickwick Bowl over there, doing a car show and a drive-in stand-up show. Just go to adamcarolla.com for all you need, and you can subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/adamcarolla. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV and drop into that world for free, baby. That is free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows free. Yes, free. No subscription, no fees. 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV, and start streaming it now. So, you want to watch TV, you want to watch all your favorite shows, you want to cut that cable, you don't want to spend all that money. Well, how about you spend zero money with Pluto TV? Pluto TV, drop in, watch for free.
This is Corolla Digital.